Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we find ourselves at the end and at the beginning of something. We find ourselves at the end of a sermon series and at the beginning of a new season in the church. And so if you are new with us, you may not realize this or know this, and if you've been with us for a while, you will notice maybe the little cards in the pew backs have changed because we're in a new season and we've got new colors for 1 week, a couple weeks, and then we go to green forever, which is my favorite color, so that's good. But, so we find ourselves here at the beginning of the church season of Pentecost, and as Paula rightly told us, it's the birthday of the church, in a sense, of the New Testament church. And so here we have a lot of gifts that we have been given and a lot of things to celebrate. We've been talking for the last few weeks, 3 weeks and a fourth opportunity, including Ascension Day, about what we owe to the world as the church. And we talked in the first week about owing the world an apology, a reasoned defense of the faith, having the words to speak, because we have hope in Jesus Christ. And then we owe the world our witness on Ascension Day. We've seen something that the rest of the world has not seen, and so we need to give that testimony by action, not just words. It changes what we do to know who Jesus is. And then last week we talked about how we owe it to each other, recognizing that life is not always sunshine, unicorns, and rainbows. Sometimes it rains outside. Sometimes we suffer for the Christian faith. And so we owe it to each other to remember that we're not the only ones doing that, but the rest of our brothers are suffering too. And so let us take heart that we can do this together. But how does the church do all of these things? How can we, as the people of God, be willing to suffer for the sake of the name? How can we give our witness? How can we have a reasoned defense? The answer is Pentecost. The answer is that Jesus supplies all that we owe. It's not us, it's God the whole time. So as we look at our text for today, I wanted to highlight a few things in the different passages and talk about how we see Jesus supplying all that we owe. First off, the Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and after, so even today, was both foreshadowed and foretold. The Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was both foreshadowed and foretold. Our Old Testament text makes this very abundantly clear as Moses takes the elders, the 70 elders of Israel, and positions them around the tent of meeting. And then the Lord comes down to speak to Moses. But he does more than just speak to Moses. But he takes some of that spirit which is upon Moses and then puts it onto the 70 elders. And then they begin to prophesy, to declare the works of the Lord, to declare the truth of God. And this is amazing to the people. What's more, there were two of the 70 elders that should have been there at the tent of meeting. For whatever reason, they stayed in the camp. We don't know why. Doesn't ultimately matter why. But they were in the camp, and God still puts His Spirit on them too. And they began prophesying in the camp. Now this is amazing to the people, so much so because they're so used to it only being Moses being the one who is doing this, that a young boy comes and tells Joshua, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. And then Joshua goes to tell Moses, Moses, stop them. Which is surprising. Surprising to us. Why would you want to stop the word of the Lord coming out? We'll get to that in a moment. But the word, the sending of the Spirit, and also I want to make this clear too. There's not like God divided the Spirit and there's like now there's only 90% of it on Moses and like 10%, you know, doled out to the other. No, because God's Spirit fills all and is in all. The wholeness of the fullness of the Spirit was still on Moses and on these men. So it was foreshadowed and it was also foretold. It was foretold. You see, in Acts, when we read about the rushing of the mighty wind and it resting on the apostles and them prophesying and speaking in tongues and languages that they did not know, Peter stands up and says that this was uttered through the prophet Joel, that this is what was happening. And then he gives the text from Joel. And so we understand from both this Acts passage and Numbers that the Holy Spirit, this was the plan all along from God. It's not a surprise to him. He told us about it. He showed it to us what it was going to be like. And then the Spirit came on Pentecost. Now, the next point that I wanted to bring into focus, sermon outline might have a different phrasing. I was going back and forth between two, and then so when we put the half sheet together, one side had one phrase and one side had the other. So do not be alarmed if what your sheet has is different than what mine does. You know, like in Greek, the word can mean two different things at the same time. So the Holy Spirit's either sending or agency. I was debating that. Really, it's both, right? Cannot be understood by man's reason. The Holy Spirit's agency or sending cannot be understood by man's reason. We get back to our Numbers passage. And Joshua tells Moses to tell the men to stop prophesying. In our Acts reading, he says, Luke writes that there were some men that were in the crowd that upon hearing what these men were doing, they supposed that the elders or the apostles were drunk. And that there were the rest of them that, at least if they believed what was being said, they were perplexed. They didn't understand what was happening. How can these men speak these languages? Aren't they Galileans? It's kind of an insult, if you will, to these men. They don't understand how this is happening. And also, it's not that these apostles were like slurring their words or exaggerated in their mannerisms that made people think that they were drunk. No, it was the message. You see, the words that they were speaking to the people were about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And to the Jews that were around, this would be nonsense talk. You got to be drunk to believe something like that. That's why they supposed this about the apostles. And we recognize that that's not uncommon even today. Not necessarily that people think that we're drunk for preaching the good news, but the ability to understand and comprehend God's saving acts in our world is beyond our reason. Martin Luther rightly says in the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, that I cannot, by my own strength or reason, come to my Lord or believe in his gospel. But it is the Holy Spirit who calls and gathers and enlightens and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and does that for us individually. You see, if we try to make faith something that we can comprehend in our minds, if we try to make faith something that we can do, if we can just do enough, we can believe, if we can manufacture in ourselves the belief, then we can do this Christian life, and we can do it in our own strength. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we know. If we take a look, if we truly examine our hearts and our minds, we recognize that we cannot do this on our own. It's impossible. And if we could, by some measure, come up to this on our own strength, well, then we would be our own God. We wouldn't need God to come down in tongues of fire and help men to speak languages that they don't know. We would be perfectly self-sufficient. But that is not the Christian message. The Christian message is that we cannot do this on our own. And that brings me to my next point. In order to receive the Holy Spirit, you've got to be thirsty. I love this. I see people writing down now. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have got to be thirsty. Christianity is not for those who have everything put together. Christianity is for those who recognize that without something else over them, everything falls apart. Christianity is for those who recognize their own sinfulness and their need for somebody to come and save them. And so we have that in our loving God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the day of the great Feast of Booths stood up and said that if anyone believes in me, if anyone is thirsty, let him come, let him drink. For out of him, as the scripture says, flows streams of living water. Now, Jesus is talking about himself as the one. Some people take this, that the person that has this thirst and comes and drinks, that out of him flows living water. But Jesus is really talking about himself. Jesus is the fountain and the source of life and faith and sustenance and everything that is good. All of our longings, all of our needs are satisfied in him. Every yes in Scripture comes from Jesus. And so if today you are thirsty, searching for something, needing God in your life, Jesus says to you, come, drink, receive from me. I will give you everything that you need and everything of me to the point where I will pour out my life as an offering for your sake. You can't do this on your own, and you don't have to do something to be worthy. Just seek me and find me where I tell you that I am. Come. Drink and receive. The problem with that invitation is that so many people don't realize that they need it. Those of you that have lived in the desert Southwest, or maybe the deserts in some other parts of the world, know this phenomenon that if you are in a very hot region that is also very dry, Sometimes our bodies actually work really, really well to keep us cool, and we don't realize just how dehydrated we are getting from the fact that our skin is, we're still sweating, but it evaporates so quickly because of the dryness of the air. And if you're not paying attention, and if you're not just regularly drinking water because you need to, you can end up dehydrated. You can end up dying from this if you don't take action. There are people that have died from dehydration that didn't know that they were thirsty. That is just, I can't understand how wonderful of a picture that is for helping us understand the human sinful condition. And how many people out there that aren't in a church on Pentecost Sunday rejoicing in the gifts of Jesus, they're thirsty, they're dying, and they don't even know it. But praise be to God that Jesus not only gives his life as an offer and a ransom for many, but he also gives it to us as a gift to give away. He gives the world his church to go out and share this good news of Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and reigning. And that brings us to our next point. Christ's death and resurrection opens the floodgates for the Spirit. You see, John records that he was saying this about the Spirit that had not been given yet because Jesus had not been glorified. But in Jesus' death and resurrection, his crucifixion for us, for you, and his resurrection, that paves the way. The upper room, Jesus said, that if I go away, I will send another helper to be with you, even the Spirit of truth. And so then on this day of Pentecost, we recognize the fulfillment of Jesus' words, of his sending his Spirit. And having received from Christ, his Spirit overflows from us to the whole world. It's not an accident that Jesus and God the Father chose Pentecost for the day for the Spirit to come into his believers. Because this was the day when all of those believing Jews would show up and they would know that they would be there. Residents from all over the world would be gathered in Jerusalem specifically for this day. And so on this day, God chose to pour out his Spirit so that the whole world could witness the love of God in Christ Jesus and the power that saves from death, which was manifest in these apostles on this day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today's no different than the day of Pentecost. God's Spirit still flows out from his altar to us and to the world. God's Spirit is still present among his people. Jesus' blood and body are still on that altar, still received by the faithful for the strengthening of their faith and their witness. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, are you thirsty? Do you know you need God? Then come and drink. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then go out and share this message to the world that needs it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. In our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.